You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Well, it was over before it got started, it felt like last night. But congrats to the Baylor Bears winning the national championship and Scott Drew. And for Gonzaga, great season comes up just short. Final hour, we'll talk to the Alabama head coach, Nick Saban. Get his thoughts on Mac Jones. What does Nick Saban do during his players' pro days? I'm sure we'll have a couple other random questions to throw in there for the Alabama head coach. Phone calls, always welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address is dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. Kentucky Derby returns to the first Saturday in May, the 147th running for the Roses, Saturday, May 1st on NBC. I was watching the Rangers game yesterday just to hear natural crowd noise. And you had a large crowd for the Rangers. It was just, it took me a while to get used to it because I'm just used to hearing a little bit of smattering or they have some piped in noise. And I'm watching and listening. Like last year, we had to get used to nothing. And now you're hearing the crowd. And it's just a little bit of background noise, but it really helped with the game. Like, it enhanced it. I just felt like I was leaning in closer to the game while I was watching it. 877-3DP-SHOW, if you want to dial us up. Our poll question for the final hour, McLovin?
I had a good time watching baseball last night. My Phillies were playing Jacob DeGrom and the Mets, and they couldn't put a bat on Jacob DeGrom for six innings, scoreless. The Mets pull him, and guess what happened?
They lose. Here you go. Most pitcher wins lost by a bullpen. So baseball since 2014, you have to have five innings pitched, and then you leave the game with the lead. And you don't get a win. Jacob DeGrom, this has happened to Jacob DeGrom 31 times, where he's left the game after five innings or more with the lead, and the bullpen failed. That's an incredible stat. I mean, his ERA since 2018 is just over 2. Easily the best in baseball. So it's 2.07. The Mets bullpen is 6.16 ERA in DeGrom's start. That's the highest for any pitcher. His ERA since 2018 is 2.07. Next closest is Justin Verlander, 2.56. And then the bullpen doesn't come to the rescue. The ERA is 6.16 in his starts. 31st time in Jacob DeGrom's career, the bullpen blew a win for him. Wow.
Yeah. Man, you guys suck.
Like, what do you say to the bullpen, or what's the bullpen say to you? Is that one of those where you see each other in the hallway and you just kind of lower your head? You just kind of look out or act like you're answering your phone or something when DeGrom comes by? Yeah, Paul.
Okay, do you think they should tell the Mets that someone else is pitching when they get in the lineup for like the first inning so they get some run support? This isn't a trend anymore, right? It's not like a fluke anymore. Do you think it's like psychological where they know they have the best pitcher in baseball and there's less pressure to put people on the base? There has to be something to it. It's not a coincidence anymore. It's a four-year trend.
Yeah. Yes, McLovin.
And there's one other player I noticed last night. Your guy, Dustin May, who's like, the fourth or fifth starter? He was eight strikeouts, no runs allowed. Yeah. And they have Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw, and Trevor Bauer.
Yeah.
And they have this guy who throws. That seems unfair.
Yeah, Paul.
In the past 4 years, Jacob DeGrom is just above a .500 pitcher. 10-9, 11-8. By the way, he won Cy Young both of those seasons.
Yeah.
But his numbers, you're like, a 10-win pitcher? Why is he getting a Cy Young?
It's just he's so dominant. He just doesn't have victories. Yeah, McLovin.
Is baseball slightly going to regret deadening the ball? Because you're going to have these guys like DeGrom and those Dodgers guys just mowing people down. I saw Pete Alonso hit one of the warning track that seemed like it would have gone out before.
I don't know. I want to see what the numbers are like for an entire season and see. You know, once weather starts to warm up, then, you know, I think you're going to see the ball carry a little bit more, obviously. Aaron Rodgers kind of looked like a kid on his first day of school as a Jeopardy host, had his hair all slicked down. And he did a really good job. And I could see why he'd want to throw his hat into the ring there to replace Alex Trebek. You know, the question on everybody's mind in Green Bay is, when will Rodgers feel like he's ready to move on to his next job? Because he's 37 years of age. He just got engaged. And I can't remember him looking happier. For a guy who lost in dramatic fashion in the NFC title game, he looks happier than ever. He looked like, hey, I'm on Jeopardy. I'm engaged. And he feels like he's in a good place in his life, but I don't know if he's a good place as a quarterback, because I don't think he's there after next season. Maybe he is, but you know what I was told a couple of weeks ago by somebody in the know, they would be shocked if Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay after next season. But you know, Green Bay didn't know what was happening here. I think Green Bay was prepared for the eventual, you know, fall off the ledge Aaron Rodgers, and then he won the MVP. They draft Jordan Love. And for people who actually think that Green Bay did this as a preemptive strike to light a fire under Aaron Rodgers, should have to turn in their media credentials. Because why not draft a quarterback this year? Get him fired up again. Like, just draft a quarterback every year. Got to get him fired up. Kansas City Chiefs better do that for Patrick Mahomes. Buccaneers better do that for, well, Buccaneers might draft a quarterback this year. But, you know, can he do both? Yes. Do I think that Aaron Rodgers wants to do both? I do. I think that he could carve out in the offseason 50 to 60 days to be able to do everything that Jeopardy asks you to do. And that is, you're going to go there, you're going to shoot 5 episodes, and Alex Trebek would go in like a couple of weeks together, chunks where you would do the entire month of shows. Knock that out. But, you know, this would be different for Aaron Rodgers because, you know, he has a day job with the Packers. But in the offseason, if you carve out 60 days, 65 days, he can do that. And he would get a good salary there. It'd be doing something that would challenge him. He'd be replacing Alex Trebek, a person he had great admiration for, loves the show itself, was good on the show as a contestant. And I think he has a certain, you know, style there. There's something about when you see Aaron Rodgers on there. He has more warmth. Like, Ken Jennings is just a smart guy. You have to have, I keep using the word gravitas, but you have to have that warmth. There has to be something where people are tuning in and they like who you are. Not, boy, that guy knows all the answers. Because Alex famously would tell you, I don't know. I don't have to know the answers. But Alex came off as, you know, able to answer most of these questions. But he said, you know, I don't know how I would do. But I only have to know the answers to the show that I'm working on. And then you go to the next show and the next show. But it's just more about, he gave that impression of, I know what this is. And if you don't know it, you should know it, then I'm going to call you out on it. And I think Aaron Rodgers is capable of doing that. Yeah, Paul.
Alex had a great bedside manner. When a person made a really easy mistake, like, and it was obvious that they should have had it, he'd go, no. But he didn't pile on. He just went, what everyone's saying, no.
Occasionally,
yes.
Alex would just let you know.
He didn't like when people missed sports questions. You could find videos on YouTube where people would miss easy sports questions. He'd be like, the Dallas Cowboys? And you'd see it, and he didn't do it that often.
No.
This famous flex defense was introduced by Tom Landry in the 70s, and it's just nothing.
Who are the Browns? Yes, McClellan.
There was a moment when, you know, when you meet the fan and you get that one factoid about them. Aaron Rodgers had a guy goes, I've been to every province in Canada, including Manitoba. And Aaron Rodgers goes, okay, I'll keep that in mind. It was, have you ever had that where it was a little factoid that you had nothing to go with?
Well, you usually know what you're going to ask the contestant. When I did Sports Jeopardy, I had a card that had a couple of things on there that I could bring up to you. But at least I was prepared for whatever your answer was going to be with whatever question I might ask you.
And you often put in a joke in that section. I remember watching where you'd always kind of say something funny.
Well, I would try to. But I was just trying to show warmth to the audience there. Yes, Paulie.
It was always funny, though. Alex would be talking to the contestants, and some of the people were really boring. He'd be like, so you, Jennifer, collect spoons. Tell me about that. And then, oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, Alex, I've been doing it. My mom did it. Her mom did it. And now I'm doing it, and I'm going to pass it down to my daughter.
Christopher, you enjoy sandwiches. Tell me
yes,
more about that.
Yes, I do. I like to consider myself kind of a sandwich guru. I can make any sandwich you want, Alex.
Yes. Have you ever eaten a sandwich with a spoon?
Yes, Todd.
I'm still amazed, again, how they all have the best relationships and the greatest kids and the greatest lives. I'm married to my husband, my soulmate for the last 23 years. I have three lovely children. One's in Harvard, one's in Yale.
Yeah, but didn't somebody come on there and he was kind of honest or having fun with it, that his life was miserable and...
The process of going through a divorce right now. Yeah, lost a lot of money in the stock exchange.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but he was very funny when he basically told you that his life wasn't great. Because everybody... And here is Tom from San Ysidro. I married the love of my life. We've been married 22 years. We have two dogs, Cuff and Link. And we like to go hiking. And we have a Winnebago.
Alex, I live in a studio in the Valley, and the only friend I have is my parole officer. I got nothing going on.
Oh, you know what? It's Wheel of Fortune, I think.
Oh, that was the guy who had?
I think this is it.
Oh, Blair? Hello. Blair Davis, Cardiff, California. Own the trucking business, it says here.
Small trucking business in San Diego. Yeah.
Good for you. And talk about your family.
I've been trapped in a loveless marriage for the last 12 years to an old battle axe named Kim. She cursed my life with three stepchildren named Star, RJ, and Ryan. And I have one rotten grandson.
Yay! No wonder you came here. You just wanted to get away from everything. I know you.
That's good. That's good.
An old battle axe.
I'm trapped in a loveless marriage.
He's chatting up Vanna White on the way to break.
Yeah.
That dude is awesome.
A couple of phone calls here. Nick Saban will join us coming up in a little bit. Derek in South Dakota. Derek?
Yeah, about Jeopardy. We might as well start filming it in February since Aaron Rodgers never played in February.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, spoken like a true Vikings fan, I'm going to guess.
Knock it off.
All right. Thank you, Derek. A little shot there. A little shot there. You could start, you know, filming in January, probably. Matt in Indiana. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Dan. Hey, 6 foot, 195.
Yeah.
I just wanted your take on Rodgers doing Jeopardy. I'm afraid he's going to get unfairly criticized, and they've got really high expectations for Rodgers. And if he starts doing Jeopardy, it's going to be just like when he had a girl.
Well, I don't know what the punchline was there. But I think for Jeopardy viewers, Rodgers was on there and did really well. You know that he can handle that kind of pressure doing Jeopardy. And I think that that helps you because it's, all right, he's Hall of Fame quarterback, but also he was a great Jeopardy contestant. Now, he's not Ken Jennings, but, you know, Ken Jennings is not a warm guy. He's just a really smart man. And I think to be a host is one thing. To be a contestant, completely different than being a host. You know, do you have charm? And you might, you know, have an older audience tuning in. They want to like you. And yes, the game is supposed to be paramount. That's the most important thing. But I don't know. There's certain game shows, when you think about it, you know, Pat Sajak and Vanna, whoever is taking over for them, you know, that'll be difficult too. Because they're there with you every single night at the same time. And there's something, that familiarity of, they're part of your, you let them in your house. Yeah, Paulie.
I don't have the updated odds. They haven't done the updated odds on Jeopardy, but you could bet on this. Ken Jennings is still one of the favorites. Katie Couric, George Stephanopoulos, LeVar Burton, Mike Richards, he's one of the producers of the show, Anderson Cooper, Steve Kornacki, the map guy that we like.
Oh, yeah.
NBC?
Yeah.
He'd be good, rolling up with the sleeves.
Yeah.
Those are like the top eight or nine.
Okay.
Neil Patrick Harris, Jimmy Kimmel are some of the names.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel can't have that job too. Like, doesn't he have enough jobs? He hosts the Academy Awards. He, you know, he's hosting, you know, Zoom calls and Jeopardy and his own show at night. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, I don't think Aaron Rodgers can do it because of what you and Chris Sims talked about. It just opens him up for too much criticism if the team loses, you know.
Well, how much more criticism is he going to get than he already gets?
That's true.
Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, like he's busy in the, like he's not studying his playbook during the Jeopardy time. Like, he's taking time out of his playbook time.
Well, that was always the knock on Shaq. Well, you know, you should be practicing your free throws in the offseason, because Shaq would be, you know, doing a rap album or, you know, filming a movie. I think he did practice. He just, he was never going to be a good free throw shooter. His form, technique was not good. Yes.
So you think a 37-year-old quarterback could do that, but a 24-year-old quarterback couldn't take 50 days off to do Jeopardy, I'd imagine.
I would think that, as we like to say, the optics would not be favorable. But here is Aaron Rodgers, who loves Jeopardy, revered Alex Trebek, was a successful contestant on there. And at his stage in his career and his life, you know, I think that people would be, I could be completely wrong. I think people would be more accepting. Unless you hate the Packers, you know, then you're going to get football fans that, you know, hate the Packers, and Bears fans aren't going to like it. Vikings fans aren't going to like it. And Detroit fans aren't going to like it. I'd be curious in those markets if, how Aaron Rodgers does in those cities or states. Yeah, see.
Those groups that you all just mentioned, though, aren't very cerebral people, though, so they probably wouldn't watch.
Wow.
Kidding.
Wow. Wow.
They probably wouldn't watch a show like Jeopardy anyway.
Seton lost the bracket challenge. Well, you didn't lose it. You just didn't win the bracket challenge.
I just didn't win, yeah.
Yeah. You lost to the drummer for Young the Giant.
I did, yeah, Francois.
Francois Comtois?
Classic battle of two college football or college basketball powerhouses.
We thought it was going to come down to Seton against the drummer for Young the Giant.
It's kind of like how everybody knew it was Baylor. It was me and Francois. It's like, well, these guys are probably going to win.
Yeah. Let's take a break. Did we reach out to Francois from Young the Giant?
We sure did.
Okay, because we should congratulate him on winning the Celebrity Bracket Challenge. Give me a little pat on the back there. Plus, our audience, we had a couple of people who had unbelievable runs here in the tournament. Yes, Paulie.
You know the backstory of how Francois came to be on the bracket contest?
No.
We were calling for everybody, literally, just about everyone who's somewhat famous, and we asked for Ed Sheeran, the singer.
Yeah.
And Ed Sheeran's people said Ed doesn't know anything about college basketball, shocker. But they said there are some other clients of theirs who are famous musicians and are fans of the show and fans of college basketball. And then we got some suggestions back. So the passing of Ed Sheeran, not the passing, but him passing on our... Alex, his passing got us...
Hey, is Ed Sheeran available? No, but the drummer from Young the Giant, it's great. Good enough.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I said fine.
Even better.
Who else did we get? Like Toad the Wet Sprocket or who were some... Was there another band that's in here?
Fitz and the Tantrums.
Fitz and the Tantrums.
Fitz.
Now, Fitz is in, but the Tantrums weren't.
The Tantrums.
Yes, Michael Fitzpatrick finished 26th.
Okay.
At Illinois, winning it all.
Okay.
DC, the Reign Supreme.
Oh, obviously. Yeah, that's right. Scoop, there it is.
Yep.
And they did okay, didn't they?
John Oates.
John Oates.
Oh, yeah.
Darius Rucker, no big deal.
Oh, that's right. We did have a few. Yes, Todd.
15th place, I find very fascinating. Paulie Papp, Steve Rowland, and John Oates all shared 15th place. That's a fun little group there.
I'm just saying, we could make a pretty awesome band with the musicians that we have in here. And the drummer, is the hardest to find. Drummers are like impossible to find. So we already got the drummer, so we're good.
Okay.
That's a good band.
Okay.
Will Ferrell and cowbell.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, more cowbell.
He's actually a great drummer, Will Ferrell. Really good drummer.
Oh, that's right. He drums too.
He's a fantastic drummer.
Didn't he do Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Yeah. Chad Smith, the drummer?
Yeah. His doppelganger.
That was awesome.
Doppelganger. All right, let's take a break. We'll make way for Nick Saban, the Alabama head coach. It's 21 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. You want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. No limit on how much you can earn. How amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. You can learn more at discover.com/yes. Discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Get to phone calls coming up. Bubba Watson, I believe, is going to join us on the program tomorrow from Augusta. That's right, the Masters starting this week. A tradition unlike any other. How long ago was the Masters? Back in November? Was it 5 months ago? And Dustin Johnson was the winner? Nick Saban, the Alabama head coach, joining us on the program. Coach, did you have your little Debbie's cakes today?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is that
some things never change.
What if they're not there? How's your day go after that?
Well, I got probably the two of the largest cookie jars you've ever seen in your life, full of them. And when they get half full, I sort of go into panic mode, and some kind of way they get filled back up.
Is it somebody's job to fill up your cookie jar? That's their main job?
That's their job, yeah. Yeah. It's one of the reasons I'm afraid to retire, you know. I don't know if there could be anybody there to fill up my cookie jar.
I'm sure that there's some coaches around the SEC that would gladly, fill up your cookie jar if you decided to leave.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know about that part.
Do you fill out a bracket for March Madness? You ever done that before?
Yeah.
Really?
I do it every year. We do a family, like everybody in the family, both sides of the family. You know, my daughter, her husband, his family, everybody. And, I really don't want to sound, facetious or anything, but I had Baylor win it all, which kind of made me the winner.
I didn't know you followed college basketball.
Well, I don't. That's what the hard thing about picking the brackets is. Because I picked Baylor, and I hadn't seen them or Gonzaga see the one play all year. I kind of just rely on, every now and then I see some replays on, ESPN or something, or hear people talk about them. So it's, I really don't have much time to watch it. So it's kind of hit or miss. I didn't start out very well. The last four in, those games that UCLA was in, I was 0-4. I didn't pick one of them right.
That's all right. The first four is pretty tough to pick.
Yeah.
Did you play hoops growing up?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I played in high school, and I love it. I played until a year ago when I got my hip replacement. We played noontime basketball here every day.
Well, what's the scouting report on you?
Point guard, commissioner of the league, pick the best players to be on my team, call all the fouls. And we do pretty well, actually. Yeah.
Are you like the Globetrotters and the opponents, the Washington Generals? You guys never lose?
It's kind of that way, yeah. But we appreciate the competition now whenever we get some.
Have you been to the Masters?
I have been one time, and I'm actually going Saturday night to spend a little time there on Sunday.
Now, are you going to be the guest of somebody who's playing or just as a spectator?
I'm doing some function there.
Oh, okay.
For somebody on Saturday night, so I'm just going to stay over. My daughter and her husband want to go. They've never been to the Masters. So typically when I do things like that, I go and come back. But this time they wanted to go, so we're going to stay and they're going to have an opportunity to watch on Sunday. I took my son when I was a coach at LSU when he was probably, maybe 14 years old or something. But that's the only time I've actually gone to watch it.
Have you played?
I play every year. you know, every year I go. There are several, you know, supporters of the program here that are members there, and they, you know, one of the three or four of them invite me every year, and, you know, we, you know, I enjoy it. That's probably one of my favorite things to do.
Do you listen to your caddy?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think you can play there if you don't.
I know.
Not on the greens, at least. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I try to tell people that whatever you see on TV, it is nothing like that in person, because there are so many mounds and the undulation of the green. Like, it's crazy. And I had a caddy tell me, hey, don't ask any questions. I'm going to tell you where to putt it, and you putt it right there. And I listened to him and probably saved 10 shots.
No question. If you didn't have somebody telling you, I mean, I can't figure it out. I mean, maybe other people can figure it out, and I'm sure pro guys can figure it out. But, man, I tell you what, there's elephants buried in some of them greens, and it's ridiculous.
He's Nick Saban.
I mean, of all the places that you know, you play golf, I mean, to me, that's the one place, you know, I'm the kind of golfer that I'm happy to hit it on the green. But hitting it on the green there in the wrong place is, you might be better off hitting the sand trap.
He's Nick Saban, the Alabama head coach. What is your role, or was your role, at a pro day?
Really not much of anything. You know, I get asked questions by a few guys, mostly that I know, which is quite a few guys in the NFL I know that I work with when I was in the NFL. And, you know, watch the players, encourage them, usually do a little something for the media. But it's very minimal route for the players. Hope they do well. Try to encourage them to do the right things relative to. Now, I was on the other side, being a pro coach for 8 years, so I really try to encourage our guys to know that, you know, working for them, cooperating with them, these are things that create value for you. Now, refusing to do anything doesn't create value for you. So, you know, I always tell guys, you don't want to give anybody the reason to say but. You know, I used to listen for that word all the time in a draft report, and as soon as it came up, nothing good ever came after it. And I said, so the choices and decisions you make, don't give anybody a reason to say but. They're looking for reasons not to pick you. Right? They're trying to find, is there any flaws? Is there something wrong with you? But don't give them any reasons for that. And you got to cooperate to be able to do that.
What did you tell Kyle Shanahan about Mac Jones?
He didn't ask me a thing. Didn't ask me a thing. I said hi to him. John Lynch, too. They did not ask me a thing about him. They didn't ask me a thing.
Wow.
Maybe they thought they weren't allowed to, because, you know, out there on the pro day floor, which is where I saw him,
yeah.
You know, I think that they, I don't know all their rules, but I think their rule is they're not really allowed to talk to me. So, you know, I stood by Belichick. We didn't talk, but you know, I don't know what their rules are, and I don't know what the reason for some of their rules are, but it is what it is.
Wait, so you stand next to Belichick, but you guys don't talk, and you guys are great friends.
Yeah, well, we talked a little bit before, you know. I mean, whether by phone or whatever, we always talk about whatever we need to talk about.
What would,
of course, you know, he, Linda was his secretary in Cleveland, my secretary now, or my assistant. And so he always comes up and says hello to her. And, you know, that's kind of lifelong.
When did you know Mac Jones was something different, considering we thought he was going to Kentucky? He was a 3-star recruit. You had Tua there. But was there a moment where you go, there's something different here? Because it feels like the NFL and these scouts kind of stumbled upon him the last couple of weeks here.
Well, I think that a lot of people got interested by the way he played last year. I mean, he did a phenomenal job. I mean, we had really good players around him, no doubt, a couple of really good receivers. you know, good couple good running backs, really good offensive line. But Mac's really intelligent, very smart, very accurate with the ball, and makes good decisions about where he throws the ball. So that's a really good starting point for a guy being a good quarterback. Yeah. You know, you can go on all these measurables and arm strength and all that, but that really doesn't make you a good quarterback. And, you know, guys like Aaron Rodgers, who I was at Miami when Aaron Rodgers came out, and, you know, his coach told me that's how he was. And in a workout, he was probably not that much more impressive than, you know, somebody else. But those instinctive intangibles that a quarterback has are, you know, invaluable to being successful at the position. And I think that's why that's so hard to evaluate. And I think that's why that's the number one failure position in the draft, is because of that being such a hard thing to evaluate. So, but you asked me a question about when did I know Mac Jones was going to be a good player. I was impressed with the way Mac played in fall camp, and I was hopeful that he would be able to continue to be able to play that way, you know, when the games came. And, you know, he didn't disappoint, you know, at all. He really prepared for the games well. He sort of changed his mindset. He, you know, early in his career, he was an anxious guy that, you know, really had a tough time overcoming, you know, mistakes in his own mind and playing the next play. And, you know, he kind of, you know, got over that, matured through that. And, you know, he really prepared well for games, and he was always able to execute exactly what we wanted him to do. So I think the world of him. And, you know, we've had a lot of three-star players. You know, everybody goes on these stars, but, you know, Quentin Williams didn't have a lot of stars, and he was the third guy picked in the draft. And Josh Jacobs didn't have a lot of stars, and he was, you know, a first-round draft pick. So, but we don't go on the stars. I never know how many stars a guy has until, like, after recruiting. You know, somebody says, hey, you had this many 9-star guys or 5-star guys or whatever they are. You know, and we evaluate kind of like you do for the draft. And we have criteria for what we're looking for in every position. And it's very similar to what a lot of pro teams would look for at those positions. And that's how we try to develop our team and develop our players. And when we find guys, we don't care how many stars they have, and just, you know, kind of try to develop those guys, and some of them have turned out to be pretty good, and some of the guys that had a lot of stars, you know, turned out to not be so good.
Before I let you go, was it true that Mac was carving up the defense in practice, and you told him to kind of settle down and stop carving up the defense? Did that actually happen?
I remember the carving up the defense part. That happened quite often. I don't ever remember asking him to quit doing that. He might have felt that because it was a little frustrating at times trying to develop. You know, we had like 8 new starters on defense, and they didn't have a lot of confidence. So, you know, when you go out there every day and get sort of, you know, shredded, it's kind of hard to develop confidence but in that group. But I knew we were going to have the kind of team that was going to have to outscore people, especially early on, until we got the defense a little better, and they got a little better the, you know, second half of the year. And, you know, the offense was very productive, and that's how we won.
Recapping one of the greatest wins of your career, Baylor wins the national championship. You win your bracket. So pretty good year for you, Coach, and always great to catch up with you.
Yeah, but I didn't want anything except bragging rights, so no, I don't want anybody to think out there I'm a gambler, because I'm not. But that's when it comes to your family, to be able to have bragging rights, it's worth a lot more than the money.
Oh, you got bragging rights, Coach. I would have everybody in your family run a lap.
Yeah, well, I just like to talk. And I told everybody last night, I said, look, I'm going to show class in this victory. I called my daughter with like 4 minutes to go in the game, and I said, you know, I'm not ready to claim victory. I just want to know if you're ready to concede. she had Gonzaga. She wasn't too happy about that.
That's good. Great to catch up with you. Safe travels to Augusta there, Coach, and we'll connect with you sometime down the road.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate you. Have a good day.
That's Coach Saban. I never know what I'm going to get. You know what stood out? That's almost a 15-minute conversation. One thing stood out more than anything else. Now, he did have a sense of humor and had some fun with some other things in the bracket challenge and all that, playing Augusta. When he said at Mac Jones's pro day, Kyle Shanahan didn't ask him any questions. And then he said he didn't know if they were allowed to talk. I'm going to guess Nick Saban's been through quite a few pro days. Are pro coaches allowed to ask you any questions? But he's standing next to Belichick, and they're having a conversation. But I, you know, because I said, well, what did you tell Kyle Shanahan? He said, I didn't talk to him. I'm guessing if you're Kyle Shanahan, you're going to take Mac Jones. You probably got a question or two for Nick Saban. Yes, Todd?
And why wouldn't you be able to ask questions? Plus, whatever the answer is, you got to take with a grain of salt because they're pubbing their own guys, from their own players from their team. So I don't understand why that would be a rule breaker to ask a coach a couple of questions about their guy.
We should ask Florio and see if you're allowed to talk to the coach at a pro day. Yeah, Paulie?
And that's got
to
be a weird thing because if you're great friends with Belichick and he asked you about Mac Jones, but then another coach who you're not great friends with asked you about a player, are you less truthful? You want your guy to go high. It's good for the program if Mac Jones goes 4 or 3.
It's an awkward situation because if Belichick asks you a question, Belichick's your good buddy. But then if somebody else who you don't have a relationship with asks you about your player, I don't know. All right, let me take a break. When we come back, last call for phone calls and the bracket contest winner, of course. If you thought it was going to be the drummer from Young the Giant, you're right. You called it. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches. Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A little cough syrup here. Young the Giant. You hate Young the Giant now, don't you, Seton, because you lost the bracket challenge?
No, I don't hate them. No, it's okay. This is part of being a competitor. Okay. You know? You got to lose with grace.
He's the champ. He's who everybody thought would probably win the bracket challenge, the drummer for Young the Giant, Francois Comtois. Hopefully I got that. How did I do with my French?
I'd give it a 95%.
Okay, all right. Yeah, we don't aim for perfection around here. Congrats on winning the bracket challenge. You had Baylor beating Gonzaga in the national title game. You also had Connecticut going to the Final Four as well, Francois. So do you know college basketball?
I would say I have a glancing knowledge of college basketball. Actually, the reason I won and the reason I put UConn in the Final Four were both because of my brother-in-law who did go to UConn. He gave me good advice on the championship game and not such good advice for the Final Four.
Is there going to be a song off this win? Are you going to be able to write something off winning the bracket challenge here?
Yeah, I mean, I think just touching on these feelings of surprise, I actually thought I was in last place as of yesterday morning. And then someone pointed out that I hadn't paid attention. I did so poorly for the rest of it. And then I realized that I actually picked the right two teams for the finals. But I think it's definitely sparked some ideas.
How are you going to, did you celebrate last night like a rock star?
I had a couple beers and I went to bed at 9:45. So.
But did you used to have a time where you acted like a tour bus days and hotel room?
Yeah, well, I mean, we haven't toured in about a year, so I kind of forget those days. But yeah, definitely when we were starting out in the early 20s, there were some late nights and early mornings and early morning calls where you regretted the late nights, but we've slowed down a little bit.
And you're from Canada?
Yeah, I was born in Montreal.
Oh, okay. And how did you guys come up with Young the Giant?
We tried to change. We had an original name from when we were a high school band, and you know, we wanted to do something different, and just kind of threw everything at the wall, and that was the one that stuck. And in retrospect, it's about the most difficult thing to pronounce. So I don't know that it was a great name, but we're sticking with it.
Did you ever meet the best Canadian drummer of all time?
Neil Peart?
Yeah.
I unfortunately didn't have the chance, but I'm a huge fan, and he was a big loss for the Canadian family, definitely.
Well, congratulations. When do you guys get back in studio, or when do you guys start to tour again?
We've actually been taking advantage of the year to write and record, so we're hopefully going to have a fifth record within the next few months. And then shows are starting to pick up again, so we have some shows coming up in April, and then a few festivals throughout the summer, and then hopefully we can do some more deep touring in 2022.
Well, we hope that you'll be in the Bracket Challenge next year as the defending champ.
I think I have to at this point. This is definitely a perfect example of beginner's luck. And this is what happened in my fantasy hoops league. I won the first year. I am in last place this year. So winning the bracket kind of helped me balance it out.
If you can stay on hold, we'd like to get your address to send you some DP show gear.
Oh, cool. Yeah, sounds good.
Francois, thank you. And congratulations.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
That's Francois Comtois, the drummer for Young the Giant. I think I'm 95% there. But yeah, I thought Seton was going to hate Young the Giant, but you did. You don't. You're good.
Nah.
Okay. All right.
A little bitter, but not hate.
Okay. All right. It's good. I know. You kind of take things personally here. Yeah. Me, I just let it go.
You just water under the bridge.
Fitz and the Tantrums, I'm fine with them. If Fitz beat me, too, I'm all good with that. All right. My thanks to Nick Saban, also Chris Sims, and Jay Billis, who joined us on the program. Let's go around the room what we learned. Fritzy, I'll start with you. What did you learn today?
Nick Saban fills out a March Madness bracket every year. He had Baylor and beat his daughter, who had the Zags.
And McLovin, what about you?
Nick Saban won't talk to Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch.
Did that strike you strange, though?
Oh, yeah. But I was wondering, is it because he doesn't want to talk in front of other teams and they talk on the phone later, maybe?
But he said he hadn't spoken to Kyle Shanahan. Seton O'Connor.
Nick Saban, ruthless trash talker.
Yes, he is.
Ruthless.
Yeah, calling his daughter 4 minutes ago in the game.
I'm not ready to declare victory. But
you're ready to concede. Yeah. Paulie, what'd you learn?
Seton wishes Ed Sheeran was in the bracket contest.
What did I learn, Todd?
You still don't understand the 49ers' fascination with Mac Jones to trade those picks and move up to the 3 spot.
Yeah, yeah. What we learned, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz vans, go far beyond from their customization options. Cutting-edge tech, 5-star sales service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans, built, equipped, and engineered to be ready for anything. Go that extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Bubba Watson will join us from Augusta tomorrow. Hope you'll join us as well here on the Dan Patrick Show. One more item as we close out the show. It's everyone's favorite tournament. Everybody is in Augusta, Georgia, competing for the coveted jacket. And DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you in the center of all the action, giving you a shot to land in the green. This week, DraftKings is giving you a free shot at the $1 million top prize. Download, sign up using the promo code Patrick. And if you haven't tried DraftKings, this is the time, and it's easy to play. You pick 6 golfers, stay under the salary cap, submit your lineup before the tournament tees off on Thursday morning, then sit back and follow all the action. And you just want to see those red numbers up there. And more red means more green. Download the DraftKings app now using the promo code Patrick. Sign up. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at the $1 million top prize. That's code Patrick. And you can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit is required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Good luck.